a specific human face? And if a bee could recognize specific human faces, how would the evolutionist explain this kind of ability? Researchers who study honeybee and human vision point out that there would have been no evolutionary pressure for bees to learn to recognize specific people. The scientific prediction would therefore be that bees would not recognize human faces. To test this prediction, researchers placed pictures of human faces above bird feeders. The same human face was always above the feeder that dispensed a sugar solution. A variety of other faces were placed above feeders that dispensed, say, quinine, a bitter-tasting solution. The bees quickly learned to associate one particular human face with the sweet solution. Even when researchers shuffled the feeders around, the bees quickly homed in on the sugar feeder with the familiar face. Then they removed the feeders and left only the pictures for the bees to find. 80% of the time, the bees still focused on the face that had been on the sugar feeder. Evolution would predict random results, that is, the pictures of the faces would have no effect. However, our powerful creator could be expected to give bees any abilities he wished. In this case, he apparently saw a good purpose to give bees this unexpected ability.
For a free copy of our Creation Resource Catalog, visit our website at creationmoments.com or call us toll-free at 1-800-42-BIBLE. And be sure to join us next time for another Creation Moment, proclaiming evidence of God's truth.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save many families up to $500 a month, and that is huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now. You'll get a price within 2 minutes. So see what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 844-55-BIBLE. That's 844-55-BIBLE. 844-55-BIBLE.
Ignition sequence time.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engines running. Commit liftoff.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to video here on Tuesday, March the 19th. I'm David Gray, along with Doug McCary of His Light Ministries, and we, as always, are very happy that you tuned in to join us as we come to you live from Jacksonville here on SWAT Radio. And we were mentioning yesterday that we were, Doug, you were gone for a couple of weeks and ran some best of SWAT radios last week, so it's nice to be back in the studio with you.
Yes, it was really good to be back and just to... I told Lori I was out for 2 weeks, and it was good to be back with you and just talking about the things from Mark, getting back into that study and just realizing what a gift this platform is. So thankful to Salem and to Stu Epperson. Senior's no longer with us. He's in the church glorified, but to their family for allowing us to broadcast here on The Truth. And just a thanks out to all the people that help us here, especially Jeremy, our producer.
Yep.
So thankful for him. And just it's a great platform to be able to put out. And, you know, we get lots of emails that we don't read them all or talk about them, but it's encouraging to read some of the emails. And
when you say we don't read them all, you mean we don't read them all on the air.
That's correct. Well, no. That's right. We don't read
you
them
read
all.
Them, but there's
yeah,
not all
I
of them
do.
On the air.
And you know, they're like, especially like last week we played best of, and a lot of people wrote in. They requested books, and they wanted they wanted to to get the book by Tommy Nelson and the book by Jonathan MacArthur. I mean, not John MacArthur, but John Maisel. And, you know, and some of the people just talked about them, and they're from all over Virginia, Florida, and here. And, you know, some of the things they wrote I thought was really encouraging. I'm trying to find it now. I thought I'd read one of them just because it was, you know, just so encouraging to read it.
Yeah. And what's the best email address these days for folks to
ask
email?
At SWAT Radio, yeah, is going to be the best one for people to reach out to us.
Yep. We always encourage folks to call in, listeners to call in with a question or a comment. And we always want you to do that. That's 844-777-7928. Mm-hmm. But if you don't want to be on the air but have a question or a comment, whether you want it on the air or not, you can always email us at the address Doug mentioned, ask@swatradio.com.
And one of our listeners out there, a guy named Justin here in the Jacksonville area, wanted a booklet, but instead, you know, he said, I'd like to come to one of your SWAT meetings. Well, tomorrow we're meeting here at the Salem Center at 12 noon. You're welcome to come join us. If you want to know where we meet, all you have to do is go to SWATradio.com, SWATradio.com, and go to meetings, to the meetings tab, and it tells you where we meet. But if you want to come here tomorrow, we have Chick-fil-A for lunch. We'd love for you to join us here. But all the locations there, and I'll have a booklet for you if you want to come tomorrow. Certainly appreciate you listening. And, Gary, appreciate Gary in Meridian saying that he feels like we are doing a good job of filling a void out there and building the kingdom. And love that, Gary. I'm going to get you those books that you requested as well. And again, these, you know, we get lots of emails, but we don't read them all. We do like it when you call in, and just like to tell Vicky, thank you for your email. And we are praying for those people that you ask us to pray for. You know, I appreciate you sharing those requests with us so that we could lift those up. And so thank you, folks, for listening. And we just are so grateful for this platform. It is a stewardship. We don't know how long we'll have it. You know, I had a board meeting not too long ago, and we'll do this as long as God wants us to. Mm. And so there is no timeline of, okay, we're going to do this for two more years or one more year, or we do it till God closes the door and says, I don't want you doing it anymore.
Yeah. And I just add, I'm sure you feel the same way. I know you do. That, you know, for all those nice things folks are saying about the role that this is filling and building the kingdom. And we really appreciate that, and appreciate that those that are listening hopefully are being edified and benefiting from what they're hearing. But I can say for myself, and I know I speak for you, how much we get out of doing this, because there's nothing like learning, kind of teaching things to learn it, right? And yeah. And I always think about, you know, how much this has blessed me and benefited me, not only to hear your teaching on a weekly basis in SWAT, but then to have it kind of pounded into me. And I mean that in a good way, you know, as we do this on a regular basis, and have it reinforced. Maybe that's a better choice of words, but it's a huge blessing to be able to do this. And, you know, you and I have talked about this, Doug. It's funny when you can look back on the way God works in your life. Mm-hmm. I've always been interested in broadcasting, and I did the news on the school radio station when I was in college, and I got to do a little internet broadcasting when my kids were in high school doing play-by-play of their baseball and football games. I always joke, you know, to an audience of about 12 grandparents and aunts and uncles and things like that.
Who always think you're the best.
Right? Oh, yeah, yeah. And but we had fun, you know, and I got a little bit of exposure to it, and then but I've always had the interest in it, and my dream job would have been to be like Joe Buck, you know, or somebody like that. But then in the end, I wind up getting to do this with you and Brad, and it's it's in the kingdom realm, you know what I mean? And it's helped me so much in terms of my own growth and my own learning of the scriptures. So God does give us the desires of our hearts, you know, like the Bible says. And I've been really blessed to be able to be part of SWAT Radio and part of the SWAT Bible studies during the week.
Yeah, and I wanted to share one particular email we got from a person. Like, this person's out in Missouri, so this is not somebody in our local listening audience. We stream it through the internet, and a lot of people don't realize that because of the grace of God, we got a grant years ago that we could kind of send out some advertisements for this radio program on men's websites. And because of that, we get people that listen through our website and also through the app. Right. And this one particular listener wrote us last week, matter of fact, and said that the kingdom gospel and discipleship that you guys have talked about has been the way I've looked at my relationship with Jesus. I turned 60 in a few days. And at 20, so this is 40 years ago, I had a pastor who helped me through the Bible with the New Testament three times before going to the Old Testament. And so I started reading the Bible in my 20s. But Genesis was as far as I got every year. And so anyway, they appreciate this, and he had requested a book as well, and he just encouragingly said how much he appreciates the biblical teaching. And that's one of our core values, sure, is to put that out. And if you're just tuning in for the first time, usually during the first 15-minute segment, we just kind of talk about topics. I call them targets of opportunity, whatever is going on in the news, maybe a Christian worldview, from stuff like that. And there was a couple of things that caught my eye. One of them here in Florida, by the way, I don't know if you've been to the beach. I don't know if you heard, here in Jacksonville, they had three shootings out at Jack's Beach in the last few days. And, you know, they were really concerned about spring breaks all over Florida.
Right. There was an incident in New Smyrna, of all places.
Yeah.
A sleepy little town.
Yes. And so... and then, I don't know if you saw this, but there was a couple from Georgia that basically drank themselves to sleep where they passed out, and they had two children.
On the beach.
The beach. Yeah. And they couldn't, somebody saw the children wander away, saw the parents pass out, and called, fortunately, thank goodness for people that are responsible enough to get involved like that, but they were down here from Georgia, and their kids were swimming in a swimming pool next to where they were, at a hotel next to where they were. But imagine had they gone into the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like that is dangerous. And so keep your eyes alert. Don't be afraid to speak out or to do something. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of scary out there right now.
Yeah, it is. And the incident in New Smyrna, you mentioned the shootings in Jacksonville Beach, and again, we don't usually hear too much about spring break here in Jacksonville. Daytona used to be kind of a big area, and I know people still go there, but it seems like mostly it's on the West Coast or down in Fort Lauderdale, and so you don't hear much. So to hear these incidents, New Smyrna Beach is a town, you know, an hour south of us, maybe an hour and a half south of us, just south of Daytona. And the other day on the beach, there was a fight among, you know, spring breakers. And then somebody, pulled out a gun, and the police had to kind of chase him through the crowd. And the guy went into the water and finally dropped the gun.
Yeah, he did. He just.
But imagine, you know, a crowded beach, you know, with somebody with a gun. I mean, potentially a huge issue.
So what this one person did when they saw these people pass out in the children, by the way, the children were 5 and 7.
Yeah, I was going to ask
you how old. Like kindergarten and second grade.
Yeah.
they called and got the sheriff's department out there, and they ended up finding the children pretty quickly, which, you know, in this stage of trafficking and stuff.
Well, I can't imagine.
Yeah, by the way, one other quick thing during this segment, I want to Tim Tebow's foundation. You know, we've had Steve Biondi? I can't even remember now. I got to look at my contacts because we've had him on, but it's been so long. But we've had him on several times. Steve Biondo, he's their executive director. And they have been doing, they just had a conference on child trafficking here with law enforcement, very involved in rescuing those that people don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one thing if you report a child missing, but what about those that aren't even reported
right.
as missing?
Right.
So they're doing a lion's share of work there, and just continue to pray for them, pray for what he's doing and their success and favor as they do that. Because Tim does it because he loves the Lord, and he realized you take care of the vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
You take care of those that are in harm's way,
yeah.
and that's what he's trying to do. So. Yeah. Kudos to him, and yeah, I just wanted.
Well, to mention. And along those lines, on a little lighter note, he obviously started Night to Shine.
Yes,
and there's a group here in the local area that they put on a Night to Shine for special needs kids.
Yeah, my girls went to it.
Right, and well, you might. I went to the one at Redeemer there, and I don't know if they went to that one, but yeah. I was a bouncer. I was at the door making sure nobody ran or escaped, but it was so sweet to yeah. see those kids. And Tim and his wife appeared on video and made a great speech and encouraged the kids. It was really fun.
Yeah, so, and
anyway.
Yeah, it was good.
We're going to take our first break here on SWAT Radio. As we said, the number is 844-777-7928 if you want to give us a call. And we'll be right back to dive back into the Gospel of Mark after this break.
If you'd like to contact SWAT Radio, the toll-free number is 1-844-777-7928. That's 844-777-7928 or 844-777-SWAT. You can also listen to this program through the WTRJ The Truth app from the App Store or over the Internet by accessing www.swatradio.com. We'll be back shortly for further discussion and to take your calls.
SWAT Radio is brought to you in part by Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. Ace Door and Window Service, Inc. is a full-service sales door and window installation company. Both of the owners are licensed contractors and are involved in the daily operations of the company. All of their trucks are company-owned and fully equipped. Their mission is to provide Jacksonville and the surrounding area with door and window replacement services. To learn more, call 904-701-3667. That's 904-701-DOOR. Or online at www.acedoor.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, serving Anastasia Island at 91.9.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio, everyone. David Gray and Doug McCary. And we are going to be getting back into the Gospel of Mark. Our study this week is looking at Mark chapter 4, verses 21 to 34, where Jesus goes through three short parables. And Doug, we covered the first part of that yesterday, the parable about not putting a lamp under a basket, or comparing our responsibility in the kingdom to sow seed and spread the gospel. And I know, Doug, you're probably going to want to do a little bit of review on that. And then today, talk about the second parable, which has to do with God's responsibility for growing the seed, if you
will. Yeah, I want to go back to something real quick before we jump into the text today. And that's the importance of reading the Bible. You know, that listener who wrote in, who said that he started in Genesis and could never get through it. He just kept reading and reading and reading. A lot of people, when they read the Bible, they try to read the Bible like they read a newspaper. You can read the Bible and see the English words that have been translated for you, but the Bible is not a ordinary book. It is God's word to us. Mm. The only way to understand it is through spiritual understanding, through the Spirit revealing truth to you. And so I encourage people to always pray before you read. Mm-hmm. Don't ever open up God's word and just start reading without first asking the Spirit to reveal that to you.
Right.
Because if you try to understand it on a human level, you're going to see it through human eyes.
Right.
And so in our country, what happens is, and I've talked to people, I'm sure you have too, a lot of people, when they read the Bible, they just read it like I said, in the newspaper, where, you know, you can read something and it might interest you, so you'll go in there instead of reading it all and reading it to understand that the Bible has one central message. From Genesis all the way through Revelation, it is about Jesus being the Messiah who delivers his people from their sin and reforms them and conforms them to his image as he leads them and grows them until he comes again. Mm. That's the main message of the Bible. And, you know, David, there was a survey back about 3 years ago, I think, where said that, and again, these surveys, you know, they do samples of people, but it showed that only about 11% of Americans say they even read the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if somebody's saying it in a survey, sometimes they may say out of guilt if they feel like they need to, they don't want to, oh, yeah, I read it.
They read it a couple times a year.
Yeah. And basically, this survey showed that the trend is that the majority of Americans never read the Bible. And the greatest demographic to have never read the Bible is millennials.
Mm.
And so if you are a person who does read the Bible and you read it and God gives you understanding because you're one of his children, then look for opportunities for you to share the importance of that with younger people. Now, whether they act on it or not, that's not up to you. And we're going to talk about that today. We talked about it yesterday, but we're going to talk today about how God grows the seed. When we throw the seed out, that's our responsibility.
Mm.
And so God is the one that grows it. And we're looking at a passage in Mark chapter 4, and it comes after Jesus told what he shared was the greatest parable for understanding all parables. In fact, he called it the key to understanding all parables about the kingdom. And it was the parable of the sower in the soils. And it reveals that there's four different types of soil. There's a hard soil. There's a rocky soil. There is a thorny soil. And then there is a good soil. And only one of those soils produces fruit. And Jesus explained that parable to his followers, and he said, the hard soil is a hard heart. And Satan comes along, and the seed never even gets below the surface on that because it's too hard. The rocky soil is a shallow, superficial kind of belief. It's a shallow surface where there's an immediate germination of the seed, but it doesn't go deep. It doesn't have a true root into the vine, to quote Jesus from John 15. And so when it pops up and the sun comes, which the Bible refers to as tribulation or persecution, it immediately wilts. And then the thorny soil is that soil that looks good, but there's a lot of thorny weeds there that what happens is when that bush comes up or that plant comes up, the distractions choke out the fruitfulness, so it doesn't produce fruit. Only one type of soil produces fruit. And the amazing thing about that is it produces 30, 60, and 100 fold, which is a reference back to Genesis with Isaac in the middle of a famine getting a 100-fold return on his crops, which was unheard of. And so Jesus followed that up with three other little parables that we looked at. One of them yesterday, the parable of the lamp. Nobody lights a lamp and puts it under a bush. And today we're going to look at the parable of the seed and the fact that the farmer just throws the seed out there, or the sower, and then it does its own thing. In other words, God is the one responsible. The seed doesn't do it. God does it. And so, Dave, today, why don't you just read Mark 4, 26 through 29, and we're going to talk about these this particular parable in relation to the context of what Jesus has been teaching.
Okay, Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 29. This is the parable of the seed growing. And he, meaning Jesus, said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade and then the ear and then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." These are the very words of God.
Simple little parable. Remember, a parable is like a parable is to truth what basket handles are to a basket. And so Jesus is illustrating that the kingdom of God, that's what he's talking about here. And when he's talking about the kingdom, he's talking about the euangelion, the rule and the reign of Christ, he says, is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. So who's the man in this story? It's for the listeners there, it's the disciples. For us, it's me and you. And it's like we scatter the seed on the ground. So the first question we got to deal with in our own life, are we scattering any seed? David, that is such a convicting question, because it's so easy to get distracted in our own life to where we forget that we are to be seed scatterers, right?
Yeah, and sometimes what I've been guilty of is, especially in years past, and I know I still am at times, but more aware of it now, is I think I had this idea that the Christian life was going to church, it was going to Bible studies, it was learning. All those things are important. But what are we doing with that, right? It is important to be with our brothers and sisters. It is important to go to corporate worship. It's vitally important. It is important to hear the word of God preached and taught. And it is important, vitally, as you said earlier, for us to read the Bible on our own and to develop, grow our relationship, or let God grow our relationship personally with each of us through his word and through prayer. But what's the result of all that? There has to be, it's like your analogy of the dead, well, Dead Sea, great analogy, right? It's dead because everything's coming into it from the Jordan, but nothing goes out.
That's right.
And I've been like that before in my life, where I thought, okay, I'm going to church, I'm going to Bible study, I'm learning these things, but what am I doing with it? All that should be fuel for us to go out and have output.
Well, let's be honest. It's easy for us, and whether it's in your job, you know, your workplace, whatever it is, we can become so comfortable in where we are at, we're content. Whether it's a marriage, right? You can coast.
Sure.
But you can't coast, really. There is no such thing as being productive when you're coasting.
Yeah.
And we're called to be productive. We're called to be people. He says the man should scatter seed on the ground. And then verse 27, it says he sleeps and rises night and day. In other words, he does this. This is the man gets up and he works. He gets up, he rises, he goes out, and then he comes back and he rests. And it says the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. once we communicate the euangelion to somebody, we rest. I mean, we don't get hung up on whether they believe or don't believe. We communicate the truth to them. And we have this misnomer that successful sowing is bringing people to faith in Christ. No. Successful sowing is what? Spreading the seed.
Is doing it, right.
Yeah.
Right.
And we share it clearly. We share it boldly. And we share it lovingly. And God is responsible for the results. That's one of the most freeing truths of our responsibility. It is not up to us. It's God's responsibility. And that's the second principle. Yesterday, we looked at sharing the gospel is our responsibility. We sow the seed. Today, growing the gospel is God's responsibility. He grows it. Man, that is just so freeing.
It sure takes the pressure off. And he has to do it if you think about it. We don't have the ability or the power to save anyone. Only he can do it. He has to regenerate a heart for a heart to be able to believe, and we can't do that. So once we realize that, and this is parable's a great illustration of that, you're right, it's hugely freeing.
It is very freeing. And when we come back, we're going to delve in just a little bit more to that. We're going to lean into that. And I hope if you're listening and maybe you haven't been sharing the seed or spreading the seed, maybe God will encourage you today that go ahead and throw that seed out there and see what I'll do with it.
Well, we're going to take a break here at the bottom of the hour for the news. We'll be back after the news. Call us at 844-777-7928 and stay with us on SWAT Radio.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Former President Trump has been unable to secure the close to $500 million bond needed to appeal a New York civil fraud judgment against him.
A bond company takes on the responsibility for any payout if a defendant loses on appeal and is unable to pay. According to Donald Trump's lawyers, obtaining a bond has proven to be a practical impossibility after approaching roughly 30 such companies.
The BBC's Etta Tufik says if Mr. Trump isn't granted a stay and doesn't have the cash, New York's attorney general could ask a judge for permission to start seizing Trump assets. Mr. Trump's previous request to post a $100 million bond was rejected by the court. Also at SRNnews.com, in consumer news, AAA says gas prices have gone up about 10 cents per gallon in the past week.
Gas is about $3.49 a gallon this morning. A week ago, it was only $3.39, and a month ago, just $3.27. What's going on? Well, the AAA points out the demand pops with warmer temperatures and better weather. It is spring now. And then there's the arrival of summer blend gas, which the AAA says tends to increase pump prices by 10 to 15 cents. The cheapest gas is in the South and parts of the Midwest. It's $3.06 in Colorado. But if you're in California, it's $4.91 a gallon. I'm Rita Foley.
A California legislator backed by former President Trump and a sheriff who promises to harden the nation's poorest borders are facing off in a special U.S. House election. State Assembly member Vince Fong and Tulare County Sheriff Mike Boudreau are both Republicans. They're vowing to complete the remaining term of ousted former Speaker Kevin McCarthy. On Wall Street, the Dow had 268 points, the NASDAQ adding 58 points. This is SRN News.
Prayer can be one of those contexts where we open up the locked places to allow Jesus in.
Prayer is so powerful. It is one way we can overcome the emotional challenges we face in life. Hi, Mark Gothier from Making Your Life Count. John Eldridge talks about how prayer moves us forward in God's love and grace.
Trauma, heartache, and pain bring with it what I would call agreements. We make agreements like, I'll never be loved again. These places get locked down, and it's so powerful to get into that locked place and say, no, I break agreement with shame. I break agreement that I'll never be loved. It opens up your heart to the presence of Christ. And so prayer can be one of those contexts where we open up the locked places to allow Jesus in.
To learn more about opening your heart to Jesus, go to cru.org and click on the Learn link.
No active accidents, but there is a broken down vehicle on the West Beltway 295 southbound at the Buckman Bridge. Also, there's a broken down vehicle on Butler Boulevard eastbound at San Pablo Road. And there's another disabled vehicle on the MLK Parkway southbound at the ramp to Phoenix Avenue. Clear tonight, low 42, Wednesday sunny, high 74. From the Traffic and Weather Center, I'm AJ.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice, tell the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio, everyone. David Gray and Doug McCary on Tuesday, March 19th. Glad you're with us as we come to you live from Jacksonville. And we are looking at Mark chapter 4, specifically today, the second of three parables here in Mark 4, 21 to 34. Yesterday was the parable of the lamp, talking about our responsibility as followers of Jesus and as believers to sow the seed, meaning to spread the gospel message, and recognizing, as Doug was saying before the break, that our responsibility is simply to share the gospel, to share with people about Jesus. It's not our responsibility, nor do we have the ability to actually save people or cause them or give them the ability to believe. Only God can grow the seed. And that's the parable we're looking at today, the parable of the seed growing in verses 26 through 29 of Mark 4.
I was at Shiloh Church on Sunday, and the youth pastor there, pastor of students, Roy Kirkwood, preached. And they've done this campaign, or they're doing this campaign, called Who's Your One? Praying for your one. I mm-hmm. used to do one called Each One, Reach One. And it was I would do these conferences where I would get people to pray for one person and pray for an opportunity to share with that person, mm-hmm. to care for that person. And mm-hmm. it was a prayer, care, share in that order kind of thing. But the seed, once we sow the seed, it is God's responsibility to grow it. And sometimes we forget that. We get so frustrated with people. We want to go in there and we want to do the work instead of allowing God to do the work. But what I love about this story that Jesus is telling his disciples, you got to remember when he's telling them this. I mean, these men are following him. He's recently just kind of commission them, right? He said, you guys are going to be my guys. And he starts off by telling them the parable that if they don't understand this one, and they don't, remember they said, what does it mean? And he's so gracious, he took them aside, he explained it to them. And then he tells them these three, the first one about, okay, I've given you this, now don't hide your light, go let it shine. Mm-hmm. And secondly, it's like the seed that a farmer plants. And I love what he says here. He says he knows not how it grows.
Well, you know, it's funny. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I was going to comment on that because that line right there also supports other biblical passages that clearly teach that it's not up to us.
Yeah.
And it's not up to even any individual who believes that salvation is all of God. That's why it says he knows not how. He doesn't know how the seed grows because God does it.
Okay, think about David. Think about a true plant. Let's say a stalk of corn, okay? You put the seed in. God uses air. He uses light from the sun, right? He uses the soil itself, water through the rain. Do you know how all that works to grow that seed into a corn stalk?
I was absent that day in school. Photosynthesis, that's my answer.
Yeah, we don't understand it, right?
Yep.
But yet God does it. We eat corn. We love corn. We drive by, we see the corn stalks. We know it starts with the seed, but we can't explain it. But God does it. Well, with people, we speak the truth to them of God's word, of the Evangelion. We live a consistent witness around them. We answer their questions when they present them. We love them. We pray for them, and God brings the growth. And boy, it is so encouraging to know I don't have to convert anybody.
And like we said, we can't. No. And we didn't convert ourselves. No. I've talked about how I used to have that backwards.
Yeah.
I always thought, well, if I believe and I love God and I trust Jesus, then he'll convert me and love me and save me. But of course, it's the other way around, just like this parable is saying. He does the work to regenerate me so that I can believe. That's why it says the man knows not how the growth happens, because God does it in a supernatural way. And I misunderstood that for a lot of years.
Well, and I did too. And here's the thing. In verse 28, he says it produces by itself the blade, then the ear, then the full grain. This is just God's sovereignty. You know, over in Acts chapter 13, remember what was going on over in Acts 13, Barnabas and Saul go off, and they're off on their missionary journey. And when they're out there, there were some bad things that happened. Remember, you know, Paul's preaching, Elymas is trying to, you know, keep, you know, Sergius Paulus from hearing the gospel. That it's full of trials and stuff, but Paul's just throwing the seed out there.
Mm-hmm.
And notice over in 13:48 what it says. When the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. Isn't that great? That just takes all the pressure off of us, right? To hear that. And even over in 2 Corinthians, when Paul wrote the Corinthian church, that they were going through such problems, he was writing to them, and he said in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 12, when I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, even though a door was open for me in the Lord, I want to just pause on that for a second. A door was opened. Who opened the door?
Yeah.
Who's sovereign over whether a door is open?
Right.
You know, every time I get on a plane, I pray, God, open a door for me to share with the person sitting next to me.
Mm.
Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. Who's in charge of that?
Right.
He's in charge. But our desire should be to want to share with him, right?
Right. I wanted to just comment on, in saying all of this, and we've talked about this many times before because it's all through Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about God being responsible and God being the one who grows, God being the one who saves, God being the one who regenerates, and it's all of him and none of us, then the question naturally can come up, well, then why evangelize? Why spread the seed if it's already determined and God does it and he knows, as you read in Acts, all who were appointed to eternal life? But think about what you said earlier. We spread seed, so we witness, we bear witness to Jesus. We answer questions. We pray. What happens to us when we're doing those things? We're changed.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of his conforming us to his image.
Absolutely.
And so we evangelize, A, to be obedient, because that's the means by which God has set for those who he has elected to hear and believe, but he does the saving. But it also is the means by which, a big part of the means by which, he changes us and conforms us to the likeness of Jesus.
Absolutely. But, you know, I use an illustration of a multi-tiered landscape fountain, which is a bowl and then a smaller bowl on top, a smaller bowl on top of that,
yeah,
and then the smaller bowl at the top, and then out of the very top, there's a fountain.
Mm.
Jesus said in John 7, anyone who comes to me, out of him will flow living water. And he says that living water is the Holy Spirit. Our biggest problem is we're the top bowl. We're not getting filled with the Spirit.
Mm.
And the way we get filled with the Spirit is not to go like into some Eastern Tibetan monastery and sit there and just meditate. You get filled with the Spirit by being in his word and communing with God, letting him speak into your life, being obedient. the more obedient you are, the more truth it brings in. And you, that Spirit of God begins to grow you, mature you, to where your evangelism is nothing more than a overflow of your own spiritual relationship right. with God.
It becomes normal. That's yes. right. It becomes very normal. And you know, when you start out sometimes, and even when you're experienced, let's face it, as a human who's flawed, it can be a little uncomfortable sometimes. But the more you, because it's not natural. It's not natural to our old self. It's natural to the new creation, but it's not natural to the old self. But the more we do it, and the more we commune with God, and just like anything else, the more we practice it, the more normal it becomes. Well, there's no question about that.
Well, Paul reminds the Corinthians in that text in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. He says, "But thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession." And here it is. "And through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. We are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life."
Mm.
I mean, who is sufficient for these things? So Paul is saying, listen, and notice in verse 17 right after that, he says, "We are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, commissioned by God in the sight of God, we speak in Christ." He's saying that the word there for men of sincerity is saying we're the real deal. We're not some fake peddler trying to just get you to do something, like some shyster salesman trying to sell you snake oil, right? He's saying we are the real deal. We're not a cheap invitation. So we are commissioned by God, is what Paul's saying, to share the Evangelion, and to do it to please God, not to please man. It's a process. It takes time. Notice that in the sentence. What? A blade, an ear, and then the grain. So from an infant to a growing believer to a mature. So it takes time. When we come back, people are welcome to call, and we're going to kind of close this up for the day.
Yeah, we're going to take our last break here on SWAT Radio. The number again, 844-777-7928. And we'll be right back after the break on SWAT Radio.
This program has the potential to reach millions of men each week. If you'd like to learn how you can support this unique program that is helping men understand the truth about Jesus through God's Word and how to impact their lives and the lives of others, then go to www.swatradio.com. Then click on the donate link to help SWAT Radio pass on the truth for the next generation.
We're so grateful for having people like Tom Neal Truck Company sponsoring SWAT Radio. Tom Neal Truck Company is located at 417 Edgewood Avenue South in Jacksonville, Florida. Tom Neal is a full-service franchise truck dealer for Freightliner, Western Star, Volvo, Isuzu, and Sprinter vans, offering new and used truck sales, service, parts, and truck rental and leasing to the North Florida and South Georgia truck market. More information on Tom Neal Truck Company is located at www.tomnehl.com.
Tuesday, March 26th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., the Northeast Florida Christian Chamber of Commerce is hosting its inaugural job fair, uniting job seekers, employers, and community members toward talent and career growth. Job seekers can explore opportunities aligned with their skills and faith, while employers gain access to a pool of candidates dedicated to Christian values in the workplace. All are welcome to attend, with special rates and sponsorship options for chamber members looking to increase visibility. Author and host of the Mere Christians podcast, Jordan Rayner, is the featured guest speaker of the day. Several other Christian professionals, educators, and personalities will be leading informative and inspiring breakout sessions. Save the date, enjoy lunch, and secure your spot as space is limited. The Northeast Florida Christian Chamber of Commerce 2024 Job Fair, Tuesday, March 26th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Schultz Center, 4019 Boulevard Center Drive, Jacksonville, Florida. For more information, visit neflchristianchamber.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the air in St. Mary's at 91.3.
They say sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some.
And right now I'm losing bed. Stood on this stage night after night, reminding the broken it'll be all right.
Welcome back to SWAT Radio, everyone, as we come to our last segment of the day. We are looking at Mark chapter 4, specifically today, verses 26 through 29, about the parable of the seed growing. And we've been talking about how this parable reflects the truth that God is responsible for growing faith, for regenerating individuals, regenerating believers so they can believe, and then growing them in their faith, that our responsibility as followers of Jesus lies in the spreading of the gospel and the telling, but God is responsible for the growing.
Yeah, and this is something, you know, he says through Paul, and I just referenced Ephesians, where he, Ephesians 2, 12 through 17, where he talks about God through us spreads the gospel. But in Ephesians 2, 10, you know, everybody loves to quote Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace, you know, you're saved, you've been saved through faith. It's not your own doing, it's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. But verse 10, we are what? His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. So when God brings you into somebody's life, we don't know who those people are. We don't know those that will reject. We don't know those that will, or those that whose names have been written in the book of life.
And that's why we assume that everybody is possibly written in the book of life.
Yes.
Right? We share with everyone because we don't know. That's right.
But again, it's not Dave's workmanship. It's not Doug's workmanship. It's God's workmanship. It's him who does the work. That's why one of my life verses is Matthew 4:19. Or you can also look at Mark, you know, where he does it in Mark chapter 1. He says, follow me and what?
I will make you.
Mm. Well, I mean, so many people, Dave, how long was it before you realized that you don't have to do the work? You just follow him. He does the work.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm still learning that.
You and me
but
both.
I think I understand it a little better now than I did a while back. So.
Yeah. Hey, I want to go back to verse 29 real quick of in Mark 4. Because if you look in Mark 4, he talks about when the grain is ripe. And he says, when the grain is ripe, right, he goes, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. You know, he throws that in at the end. And we're right now living in an age of grace, if you will. I mean, a time where that seeds are being planted, seeds are being grown.
Mm-hmm.
But there's going to be a harvest. This is a finite period we're living in. This current age that we're living in is not going to last forever. And so I don't know, it's like you and I were talking in the break about how we can get convicted sometimes because you and I have both been people who've thrown out seed, and we've both been people who've become complacent and not thrown out seed. It's easy to do. And the thing that God wants us to hear from his word is we have a responsibility to be seed throwers. You know, we're basically the persons who are putting the seed out because he has chosen to use us. He started with the 12, and now he's got plants that have reproduced thousandfolds mm-hmm. over the earth over time, right? And in Matthew 28, he says, all authority, which is his sovereignty, has been given to me. Go make disciples. Well, part of the disciple-making process is to sow seed.
Mm.
And he says, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, which is that's the growth of the seed, right, as you're teaching. And he says, I'm with you always until the end of the age. That finite time, he will be with you. He'll do the work. That's the whole point of this little parable, is that God does the work, not us. Mm. And I'm telling you, that is such a freeing thing. And so maybe you've not sown the seed. Maybe you've been one of these people, I don't know what to do. Or he's not asking you, I don't think. I can't speak for what he's asking you. But most people think to be seed sowers, they got to be a Billy Graham or they got to lead a Bible study. What about that person that you're next to at the YMCA? I don't even know how to start a conversation. Pray.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many times, David, I've prayed, Lord, open up a door. And I'll tell you one thing that is clearly a door open for me. If I see the same person that I don't know, I see him at the Y, then I see him at the grocery store, and then I'm at some other random place and the same person is all three places. Mm. I'm like, okay, God is bringing this person into my path. This is a door.
Yeah.
For the conversation to try to get the seed out there. And a lot of times we're not sure how to begin that conversation. A question that somebody shared with me that I found very helpful is, hey, I've seen you like two or three times and I don't believe in randomness. I mean, I believe that God is real and sometimes he brings people together. And, you know, I know for me, somebody came into my life that helped me understand things about him that I never knew that has made my life so different in a good way. Do you ever think about spiritual things? Mm. Just a question like that. I call it a spiritual springboard that you throw it out. And if they say, nah, I don't really want to. Okay. So now the door's been closed, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
And you just pray for that person.
Yep.
But that person has recognized you as a representative, at least in that moment, of the Most High God. And if something happens, they see you again at that same place, they may come up to you because this has happened to me too.
Yeah.
Later.
Because God starts to grow. Right.
And they come up, hey, you know what? I was pretty rough back there and I'm really sorry. I wasn't trying to be rude the other day, but I'm just going through a tough time and I didn't feel like dealing with it. But yeah, I just struggle with the whole God thing. Mm. And they may just say something like that.
Yeah, and now you're in. Right.
Now you can start a conversation.
Right. And you know, it's good that you brought this up because maybe there are people listening, and I know I've been in this position, who are wondering and need some examples maybe of how to start this. And I think one of the things that I know you do regularly and I've tried to do is to ask servers at restaurants, can we pray for you?
That's a great way.
Can be very evangelical, you can be very seed spreading in a prayer, mm-hmm. right? Because you might not be looking at the person at that point and having a conversation, but in a prayer, you can thank God for his gift of Jesus. You can thank God for, his willingness to reconcile us to himself and things like that. I've found that, you know, at holidays and things like that, when you have people around that might not be believers, praying in that way where you kind of work the gospel message into your prayer is an effective way for people to hear it.
Yeah. And a lot of our listeners are already praying in restaurants anyway.
Right.
Or they're going to pray.
Right.
So when you ask your server, a way I found is I said, hey, listen, we like to pray over our food and thank God for his provision. And you're our server today. And today we also want to pray for you. In doing that, Dave, for about 28 years now, I've never had anybody get upset with me.
Mm-hmm.
I have only had one person say, I don't really know what to pray for.
Right.
Really in a way that was kind of, it just was awkward. Everybody else
has
been there.
Yeah, and, that somebody and, will reject that.
And sometimes they may say things like, I don't really know. Well, I immediately follow up with, do you have any needs in your life right now?
Mm-hmm.
And I always throw this little hook out that says, okay, we're going to pray for that. And when God meets that need, I want you to remember this conversation.
Yeah.
And I want you to remember he's the one who met that need. And if you don't know him, my encouragement is to ask him, lean into him and say, God, I want to know you. This person prayed for me and this happened.
Yep.
I mean, that people believe that kind of stuff doesn't happen. He's not a genie.
Right.
Right. He's not an ATM machine.
Right.
But he is the one true living God. His name is Yahweh, and he has established himself for millennia of doing things like that to get his name known out there to people.
Well, and it's I always go back to the phrase,